right, buddy. So I teased it there. Let's get to this great interview. Michael Katz, he's been on the show a number of times. This is the best interview yet. You guys are going to like this one. All right, we're pleased to once again be joined by Michael Katz. Of course, we've had him on the show a number of times, covers Ole Miss for the DJ Journal. And I come to find out this week, he drives a Subaru. How you doing, Katz?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was going to be such a divisive thing. Like, I'm from California, but I lived in, like, Mountain West territory. So, like, Idaho, Wyoming, like, you have to have a Subaru there or something like of that nature. And so I bought that car when I was in Boise. When a radio host today was like, I bet you drive a Subaru. And I kind of paused and I was like, I actually do. And then he was like, I bet you play disc golf. And I was like, I'm not even kidding. I just had that conversation last week. And he's like, I bet you like craft beer. And I was like, why are you in my head? Like, I feel seen right now. This is really weird.
That's where I draw the line, Katz, because, hell, anything with alcohol, I'll drink it. And craft beer, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, no. But so do you have a problem with the Subaru, though? Because I guess I won't be picking you up anytime soon if you do. It's fine. I mean,
not really. I'm not a car guy, but it just seems like around here, if you don't drive a truck, you don't know what the hell you're doing. And the reason I'm anti-truck is because I don't want everybody I know to be, hey, I got to move a couch. Hey, I got to move a bed and calling me up. So I don't think I'll ever own a truck, to be honest with you.
You're everybody's friend when you have a truck.
Exactly.
It's dangerous. You have a lot of favors.
Well, I'll tell you who's everybody's friend in the damn transfer portal. We all know it. Lane Kiffin, the transfer portal king. Did you see the comments late last week? I kind of roasted him for it. I'm curious to know what you thought. He was mad. I think he was mad more about tampering than anything else. But what'd you make of that exchange if you saw it on Feinbaum? Basically, he just said, you know, they're coming after the best running back in the country. He's on my roster, and I thought that was illegal, on and on and on. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so with Lane, there's always there's a few things he really wants to talk about. There's some things he absolutely never wants to talk about, like injuries and you know stuff like that. But like
the Auburn job.
Well, he talks about it now, as you might have seen on ESPN.com or a few days ago at his press conference. But one thing that he's really outspoken on is the portal and playing the game, but also I want to say the dirty part, and there's dirty parts in all of this, but without even being prompted, he has told us a couple of times that Quinshon Judkins was basically being recruited without being in the transfer portal, which by the rules is very much not, you know, that's very much illegal.
Right.
I think Lane does everything with a purpose. He's very intentional with the way he does things. He doesn't just say things to say them. I know it sometimes seems that way. He's really intentional with what he decides to talk about and who he talks to it about and how he talks about it. And, you know, do I personally know if Quinshon was recruited? I'm not going to get that information. We talked to him because we're not allowed to talk to freshmen. So we talked to him for the first time a couple weeks ago, which is crazy. Like the SEC's one of the best running backs in the league we'd never talked to. And he was asked about it and he was very buttoned up about it, which, you know, you would expect for a 19-year-old to, you know, and probably best to avoid the topic altogether. But, I don't know what happened with that, but I do know that there's probably a reason Lane is making a point of it. And it's when, you know, cause sometimes the transfer portal levels the playing field, right? Because you can get the five stars that you couldn't get before that didn't work out another place. You know, Ole Miss wasn't getting Jackson Dart before, but they got another chance. They got him this time. But there's still some inconsistencies in terms of the playing field. You know, they find ways to – the good teams always kind of end up having a little bit of an edge. And so when there's money involved, as can be now, And that's what this always, it's what the conversation usually comes down to is NIL and who's offering more. And, it's Lane's brought up the idea of contracts. You're usually going to go where there's more money. That's just how it works. I think he's probably making a point that like there's going to be some unfair stuff happening here because those schools that are always really good at this are going to be really good at this too because they have the resources. And so I think he's probably trying to get something, he has said that this is not sustainable, like how it is right now. It something has to happen. And I think he's trying to get traction on that because when Lane talks, people listen because he doesn't talk about a ton of stuff, but when he does, it's usually for a reason.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is something I'm very fascinated by, just given the fact that Lane Kiffin has been wildly successful. I think you could argue he's been much more successful, or certainly as successful as Hugh Freeze. I'm just looking at the recent history of the program. But last season ended poorly, obviously. There was all the speculation, and fans, it seemed like by the end of all that, and by how the season ended, there was some animosity. Now, certainly not within the athletics program. I mean, they just gave him this monster contract, so I'm not insinuating he's on any kind of hot seat. That even for the SEC, that'd be crazy. But I'm just wondering if has the majority of the fan base warmed back up to him? Have they forgotten about that, or do they need to see some wins in the fall, do you think, to kind of get back on the bandwagon?
I think winning helps with everything, but there's like moments where it seems like everything that happened last Thanksgiving-ish, which is when all the Auburn stuff came to its fullest, the Monday of the Egg Bowl, I think, is when it all kind of happened. I think like now that it's April, like a lot of people have just kind of not like forgotten about it, but they don't really care anymore. But then like this ESPN story drops. And it's brought back up again, and people are talking about it again. And like, I don't think people want to hear about it anymore. It's like every time that like someone tweets something that he said, they're like, we don't care anymore. He didn't go to Auburn. And it's like, I think there's a little bit of a like, okay, we get it. It was a thing. Let's like all move on because we don't want it to happen again. And so I think there's always going to be like the purists who are like, he's not an Ole Miss guy because he thought about leaving, the Tommy Tuberville kind of thing. But I think ultimately the majority of fans and the ones who understand how this all works know that it's a business. And I know the athletic department understands that too. I've talked to Keith Carter about this. You can't take it personally. This is just how it works. And it is what it is. He's here, and ultimately this football program's in a way better place than it was a couple years ago after Hugh and everything that happened there and the Matt Luke stuff. This program's on pretty solid footing right now, and so I think the majority of people understand that we're there. I think fans can say we're in a far better place than we were in 2019, when Elijah Moore pretended to take a whiz on the field. I think things are in, I think most fans would agree they're in a better place right now. But I think there's always going to be some people who are, wondering if he's, how invested he is in it, because like this has been his, Lane does not stay places very long. The stat was like if he makes it through like midway this season, it'll be the longest he's ever been at a place, which is crazy to think about. I think there's always going to be questions, and I think this might be something that we just do every year because his name's always going to be hot. That's just kind of the way it is. And if you're playing the business part of it, you probably want your name to be out there because it means more money from you from whatever ends up happening. But I think the majority of fans understand that this program's in a better place. Now, I don't know if that means that their win-loss record is better this next year, because their schedule is brutal. You have Tulane as one of your non-conference games in New Orleans. I'm a USC grad. I have been hurt by Tulane very recently. I have seen what
I
they can
wasn't even
do.
gonna bring it up.
Yeah, so like I've seen it with my own eyes. Tulane's really good, and they kept their coach, and they got a quarterback back, and that's going to be a fun one. And then they've got a stretch where I'm not sure of the exact order, but it's like Bama, Auburn, LSU, and Arkansas all in a row, and they play at Georgia. Like that's tough. That's really tough. And so I think this team's better than it was. Jackson Dart, and I'm sure we'll want to talk about him, but he's looked great this spring. The defense, they bring in Pete Golding. You assume that there's some amount of improvement there. And I don't know if the record gets better because the schedule's so much worse. Like if they had the same schedule they had this year, you might be looking at like a 10-win team. But the schedule is just it's brutal. There are really no, it sounds cliche, but there are no days off, weekends off in the SEC. Unless like they can't even say Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt's pretty good. They're building something there. Like there are no really bad, circle them on your calendar. This is the win.
Was I think Van wasn't Vanderbilt beating them at
They
halftime?
were at halftime.
Right.
They were up, and I was like, "What is happening here?"
And then Ole Miss, I think, won like 42-0 in the second half. So,
Yeah, I almost remembered that Vanderbilt had a very bad pass defense, and
okay.
Jackson Dart threw for like 450 yards. Jonathan Mingo had 270 yards, whatever it was. That's when Lane was trying to get him the record, so they were up by like 20 starters, and I was like, "That's perfect."
Do you think we're ever going to get to a point where Lane Kiffin's Twitter is, censored, a la Hugh Freeze down at Auburn? Because surely no one is approving these messages Lane Kiffin's putting out.
I think like when you hire somebody like that, I think you have to understand that part of it is letting him be him.
Yeah.
And that's part of his brand is like the unfiltered trolling, kind of being the heel to everybody and like kind of getting under everybody's skin a little bit, but like not enough to the point where it's like vile or vulgar or like that egregious. But like even the other day, like you texted me, he was tweeting about the Florida spring game. It was like 7-7 or whatever. And he did the flame emojis or whatever it was. And then after their spring game, which was like a 50-something to 50-something game, he's like, "Yeah, we like exciting spring games." And I was like, because he's like, because you see these 0-0 games. I was like, man, there's always a purpose to everything. And so I don't think I think you hire him like when he's your head coach, you know that there's just some things you gotta let him do it. And then for the most part, he doesn't screw it up. He toes the line every once in a while, and I'm sure he's probably had some conversations, but I don't think it's at risk of the alleged Hugh Freeze censored somebody else running it, whatever that situation is. I still don't have a ton of clarity on what the bylaws were in that one in his contract on who gets to run his Twitter or whatever. But I think you just gotta let Lane be Lane. It's the same reason you let him go for fourth downs
Yep.
as much as he does. It's because it's just it's who he is, and you hired him, and that's the reason you did is because he does things a little different.
See, now I just think he's playing 4D chess, cats, and he's sitting here saying, when Florida fires Billy Napier in November,
No.
remember, who puts up points in these. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just letting you know that's happening. That
Man, there.
his name will be rumored.
Well, are you saying that Billy Napier, are you already calling your shot that it's going to happen already?
No, I'm basically all in on trolling Florida at this point in time. But if there's heat, yeah, Lane Kiffin will be mentioned there. But let's get back to Ole Miss, of course. Jackson Dart, you mentioned him. Is it over before it even began? Because all indication that I'm hearing is Jackson Dart is. I mean, it would take a lot for Spencer Sanders or Walker Howard, as talented as they may be, to overcome Jackson Dart. What's your read on the situation?
I mean, Jackson had an amazing spring, and there's no way around it. And it's one thing to have like the head coach tell you that, and there's it's coach speak is what it is. But like every player that we talked to was like, this is a different guy. And we go to practices and we see it, and he's not making the crucial mistake. He looks comfortable. Physically, he looks bigger. He was already a pretty big kid. He looks the part even more so now. And he just looks comfortable all around and relaxed. And man, he was thrown. I know that he started, he played at USC as a true freshman, but that was such a different offense. That was an air raid. I mean, that was going from that to what Ole Miss and Lane and Charlie Weiss Jr. do was so different. And I do think there's something to be said for that adjustment. And I know Lane said it a few times last year that's like he's almost having a second freshman season. I don't know if you go that far with it, but it was an adjustment. And he just looks, he looked like a different guy. And, the spring game, his completion percentage wasn't great. He had some drops, but he didn't turn the ball over. And that's the thing with him is if you can avoid the big mistake, he's going to make some really good things happen because he's got a really good arm talent and he can move the ball with his legs. And, I think the team really rallies behind him too. He's a magnetic kind of personality. I think people really like Jackson Dart. And if you talk to him, you get it. He's just kind of got that energy about him. That being said, like, if you're Spencer Sanders, I don't think you transferred to a place if you didn't think you had a chance, especially when you've started 4 years and you've got one left. Like, I don't think you go to Ole Miss when they tell you you're going to be a backup. That seems insane. I don't think you sign up for that. So, and Spencer, he looked really good in the spring game. He was a little bit limited over the spring with a shoulder injury that he had at Oklahoma State that limited him a little bit last year. But he again, he's got a track record. Like he can play. His first team all Big 12. He is a good player. Walker Howard might have been the best quarterback at the spring game. He looked amazing. He's got a big arm and he's looked really good all spring too. And so I know you take everything this spring with a grain of salt just because like we once a year you see like a walk-on guy who has like 140 yards in the spring game and you're like look for him in the fall, and then he catches like two passes the entire year. Because that's, certain guys show up, and it's all so different in the spring. That being said, I do believe that Jackson Dart has. I mean, it'd be foolish to think he doesn't have the edge. I'm not sure. Like, people want to talk about like an open quarterback competition. I don't, and I think like Lane kind of skirted around that too, and has said. It's competition. It's making everybody better. He brought it up the other day. If you're a baseball team, you don't just want one starting pitcher who's good. You want a bunch of starting pitchers who are good. That's how you build a team. And because he had said, well, you can only play one. And he's like, well, why wouldn't you want to have a lot of good ones? Because what if something happens? If somebody, heaven forbid, somebody gets hurt, you want to be in a good spot and not be putting in a guy who isn't going to be able to win games. And so I do think there is something to be said for just improving the quality of the room. But you got to think just with the way Dart looked and the way people talked about him and just the natural maturation of a guy from year one to year two, you would have to think he's in a pretty good spot. But again, there's that part of me that's like, why, what's Spencer Sanders's play here? Like what does he know that we don't know for why he came here in the first place? And so it's always, Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin are always one to monitor, as you know. There's always something going on to make it complicated. It's just it's another day on the Ole Miss beat, just trying to see how it all shakes out. But Jackson's looked really good, and I would have to think that he's put himself in a pretty good spot.
And I'm not saying this is what happened, Cats, but you could convince me that they brought in Spencer Sanders just so he wouldn't go to Auburn to connect with old Hugh
Well, there's a little gamesmanship. That has been floated around. And you know what? The way the game is played in this, I'm not gonna say there's no way. Because if you got him, someone else doesn't. So
Exactly.
I'm not gonna rule it out because there's a lot of gamesmanship going around these days.
Well, the other big addition that Ole Miss had this offseason, Pete Golding, of course, a new defensive coordinator. Thoughts on what you've seen from him at practice? It's obviously way too early to know if he will be a upgrade, like I assume he will be. But any, you know, talking to the players or anything, the energy at practice, and what can you tell us about Pete Golding down there in Oxford?
There was an energy when players talk about him. And I think part of it is, like, because he has cachet. Like, he's a guy that people know. He's a big name. He got a big contract. I know Alabama fans feel certain ways about Pete Golding, but for the most part, he's a guy that people have a lot of, you know, positive feelings about around college football, and Ole Miss was able to get him. And so I know players were, like, really excited. And when, you know, we asked them, like, you know, what were your thoughts when you heard that it was happening? And they were all really excited because they understand his track record and the players that he's helped develop and that he's had. And obviously part of that's recruiting too. Will Anderson, I don't know if there's a Will Anderson currently on Ole Miss's roster, just in terms of, you know, pure that type of player. But I think they're excited about his track record. And I also think just the way the season ended last year, particularly with them, the way they got gashed in the run game, it was really bad. They just could not stop the bleeding. Mississippi State ran the ball pretty well against them. And that was, you know, that was Mike Leach's rest in peace, you know, last game. And they're running, the air raid is running the ball on you at will. That's a tough look, right? And so I think they're excited too that the defense is going to be different just schematically. The 3-2-6, there's just games where it's just not going to work when they want to run the ball on you. You can't have two linebackers, undersized linebackers, and a bunch of defensive backs, because as we saw against Arkansas, they're going to figure it out. They're going to exploit it. They're going to make your life miserable. And so I think there's excitement too about the defense being more multiple and it being more geared to stop the things that really kind of did them in down the stretch. We haven't talked to Pete Golding yet because, you know, we only get to talk to coordinators once a year. It's in August. That's the Saban school of doing things, one voice for the program, all that kind of stuff. And so we haven't gotten to pick his brain yet, but players have been really high on just his football intelligence and the way that he kind of does things. There's an excitement for sure. And I know the spring game, it's like when there's 105 points scored, whatever it was, people are like, oh God, here we go again. But the defense, they had like two, you know, play calls they could run. Lane has said that, you know, the offense was supposed to be vanilla too, but the assistants took some liberties with play calling and maybe ran some plays they weren't supposed to run that kind of caught the defense off guard. And then he's also talked about the fact that, you know, you don't want a 7-7, spring game. You want to get people excited. So the defense was behind the eight ball the whole time. So I don't think people should put any stock in what they saw in the spring game.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, this spring too was about learning the playbook and figuring out where guys fit. And, you know, there were a lot of guys who didn't play this spring that figured to be a big part of what the defense looks like. So it's a long-winded way of saying I don't think we know a ton yet, other than the fact that players seem really excited about the move.
All right, final question for you, Michael. Really appreciate your time. But, you know, maybe what is the biggest question that you had coming into spring that you feel like you found an answer to during camp? And maybe same thing, what is the biggest question that remains heading into fall for Ole Miss?
I mean, this is the cheap way out, but my biggest question was about the quarterbacks. What is Dart? How does he handle this? Right? Not everybody is going to handle it really well. Some people are going to be like, I'm out. They're going to be despondent about it. They're going to handle it a certain way. Jackson's handled it really, really well. And I think he's a guy, he's the cliche, like, chip on the shoulder guy. I think he's better when there's doubters or there's competition, iron sharpens iron, that kind of thing. I wasn't sure how he was going to react to it. And he's handled it exactly the way that he needs to. And he's gotten a lot better because of it. You know, the season didn't end like that long ago. And the jump that he's made from that Texas Bowl to now, And I know it's spring and things look different than they will in a real game, but it's night and day from basically anybody you talk to. And he acknowledges it too. He feels like he's a different quarterback. And so, I was curious, is Spencer Sanders just gonna walk in here and just take it, and Jackson Dart's pouting? I wasn't sure how that dynamic was going to work. Jackson Dart has handled it really, really well, and he's become a better player for it. I guess the thing I'm not really sure about yet, is and this kind of seems like a question like every year, is which Michael Trigger are we going to see? He's got four touchdowns in two spring games here, and it always looks like he's going to be like. He looks like he should be the breakout guy, right? And they brought in a tight end from Memphis, Caden Prescorn, who was he's a really good player. And Lane has said they haven't had a tight end like him who can kind of do everything. Ole Miss has kind of had specialty tight ends. Kenny Yeboah was a kind of a slot-ish guy. Trigg is kind of in that mold, not a guy you're necessarily going to put in line a ton. And so you gotta like figure out, like, we know how talented Michael Trigg is. We've seen it. There's a reason everybody wanted him. But what is the playing share look like, and how does he handle the competition? He got suspended toward the end of last year. He had some things to work on, and so I'm curious where he's at. Mentally, we know the physical part's going to be there. Everybody can see it. He looks like when a high school, it's varsity versus JV. I mean, he just looks like he's just older, bigger, faster, stronger than everybody out there. And we know it's there. The question is he going to get the opportunities? Because they brought in another guy to kind of fill in the gaps that he doesn't do as well. And you know what you're getting with Caden Prescorn. He was an all AAC guy at Memphis last year. He's a really good all-around player. You know what you're getting day in and day out. I don't know if we know what you're getting day in and day out from Michael Trigg yet. And I think that's the big mystery with him is which version of him are you going to get? Are you going to get the spring version that looks like an All-American, or are you going to get the one? I know he got hurt last year, but even before he got hurt, there was inconsistency. It just didn't always show up in games, and so that's the one thing I want to see is which Michael Trigg is Ole Miss going to get this year.
Yeah, anytime someone says Michael Trigg, all I think about is that there's a highlight of him at USC breaking like seven, eight tackles, looking like damn LeBron James of college football or something. So if they get that guy, man, they're gonna be tough to stop. You know what?
Yeah, no, and I that's why they took him, right? Because you see, like they that and Lane has said it, like that those physical attributes don't just come along. Like you can find good tight ends and big receivers, but like that package is really, really rare. So if you have a chance to pick that up, like you are betting on the fact that he's going to figure it out. And if he can figure it out for a whole season, man, he's going to make himself a lot of money soon in the NFL because he's got everything you could possibly want in terms of the big, strong receiving tight end who's the ultimate mismatch.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate all your time. Before you go, can you tell the audience where's the best place to find all your work?
Yeah, so you can find me at djournal.com. It's the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. If you want to look at the tweets, I always give a disclaimer. A lot of stuff that doesn't involve anything that you probably care about, but if you do want to see the tweets, it's at Michael L. Katz, and that's Katz. A lot of different things going on the Twitter feed, but if there's something, if there's Ole Miss news in there, you can be sure that it will be in there somewhere. Just matters like where it is on the timeline. Something dumb might happen, and I'll probably have a tweet about it. So.
Right, so just want to say thanks again, Michael, for joining the show. You can find his Twitter handle and link to his website, the DJ Journal, in the show notes. But man, I
Cool
apologize,
dude.
Shane.
I met him down there at that SEC or at
Oh yeah,
the
that's right.
SEC
I
Media
forgot.
Days. Yeah, he's a cool cat. Pun intended.